Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
That would be me. Good evening and welcome. Nice to have your company for another edition of the Irish programme Live on Era. I hope I find you well. I hope you've had a good week and I hope that you will stay with me until 7 o'clock, because I think I have a nice programme lined up for you. We might be missing one or two listeners in Ireland. We'll explain that in the next couple of minutes. But firstly, what's coming up on the programme today? Well, Terry McKinley, the president of the Irish Association in Spain, will be talking to me about how the Irish people are faring out here in Spain following lockdown and during the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. We're going to look at Irish visitors and business people and people who generally live and work in Spain, with a particular emphasis along the coast. So looking forward to talking to Terry again on the programme today. It's kind of like a Northern Ireland programme really, because Patricia Traynor will be joining us as well. And she's got a lovely story about answering the telephone. Yeah, when she moved to Spain first, and she had very little, if indeed at all, any Spanish. So we'll find out a little bit more about that very shortly. We'll have our famous Irish birthdays as per usual. Those Irish people celebrating birthdays in the coming week, and indeed people that may not any longer be with us but would have been celebrating birthdays, we'd like to mark the occasion for them as well. Lots of good Irish music in there, including the number one song in Ireland on this very day, the 21st of September back in 1990. It's a song I think you will know well, and you might even want to sing along with it, and you'll be more than welcome to do so. Now, as always, our contact details remain the same. Email is the best way to get in contact with me. You can email Ger, G-E-R, at tre.radio. And before we go any further, can I say a big thank you to Dave for the daily looking after us since 4 o'clock this afternoon. Thanks to Dave. He's heading off home. Hopefully the radio up grand and loud. And safe journey as you travel home today, Dave. Back with you again tomorrow between 4 and 6. Right. Let's have a look at those famous birthdays then, shall we? As I said, today is the 21st of September. Éamon Cant, revolutionary and 1916 rebellion leader, was born in Ballymoe in 1881 on this day. A number of railway stations particularly named after Éamon Cant in Ireland. I know it's Cant Station in Limerick, and I think in Cork as well, and maybe a few others. Don't know why railway stations, but there you go. Tom Carr, the artist, was born in Belfast on this day back in 1909. More Belfast. As I said, Terry and Patricia both from Belfast. Anyway, tomorrow, Tuesday the 22nd, a very funny man and a nice fella as well. I've introduced him on stage on a number of occasions. A man by the name of Conal Gallen is celebrating his birthday tomorrow. He is a comedian and a bit of a singer as well. Born in Ballybofey on the 22nd of September in 1955. Bob McKenzie, the actor, born in County Antrim in 1880. And Coleman Pearce, if you're around my own age in the early 50s, you will remember the name Coleman Pearce, conductor and composer, and would have featured regularly on television. Anyway, born on the 22nd of September 1938. Wednesday is the 23rd. Thomas Kilroy, the playwright, was born in Callan in County Kilkenny in 1934. Thursday of this week is the 24th, and a man that produced something that is being enjoyed by a lot of people at this moment in time in Ireland, Arthur Guinness, the brewer, born in Dublin on that day in 1724. And I refer to the Guinness, and I refer to the beginning of the programme to the fact that we might have a few less listeners in Ireland today, because the wet pubs, as they call them, opened in all counties except in Dublin, and as you know, there's been some issues with Dublin over the last wee while. So for anybody, indeed anybody that might be listening in a pub enjoying pints of Arthur for the first time in a very long time, I wish I could be with ye. But enjoy and drink responsibly, isn't that what they say? Indeed. Evan Boland, the writer, was born in Dublin on that day in 1944, that day being the 24th of September. Davy Arthur, now there's a name, wonderful musician. He plays with the Fury Brothers at Davy Arthur, musician and singer, I suppose, born in Donegal in 1954. And Amy Joyce Hastings, the actor, was born in Dublin in 1980. Next Friday is the 25th. Another actor, Maria Doyle Kennedy, was born on that day in Dublin in 1964. To the weekend we go. The 26th is Saturday. Wonderful entertainer and singer, Dolores Kane, born in 1953. Bill O'Hurley, he unfortunately no longer with us, an RTE broadcaster, particularly focused on sport, was born in Cork in 1938, had a very successful public relations company as well. And singer Finbar Wright was born in Cork on that day in 1957. Finally, next Sunday, the 27th, George Lee. Now, not the George Lee that appears on this programme on a regular basis, but George Lee, the RTE journalist, born in Dublin in 1962 on the 27th of September. His sister would be a regular listener to this programme, indeed. So we'll say hello to Dolores on that as well. And, of course, your hubby. Yeah, why not? Absolutely. That's it. That's our birthday file for the coming week. A number of people there to choose from in relation to music. And I thought, do you know what? Why don't we start with something nice and gentle? And Davy Arthur celebrating his birthday this week, next Thursday to be precise. And here he is with the Fury Brothers. And I will love you every time you are gone.
My own true loved one, I'm going far from thee. Out on the bounding billows, out on the dark blue sea. Oh, I shall miss you, my darling, there when the storm's raging high. Oh, Jenny, my own true loved one, wait till the clouds roll by. Oh, wait till the clouds roll by, Jenny, wait till the clouds roll by. Ah, Jenny, my own true loved one, wait till the clouds roll by. Ah, Jenny, when far from thee, love, I'm on the ocean deep. Will you then dream of me, love? Will you your promise keep? Soon I'll return to you, darling, and kiss every tear from your eyes. Oh, Jenny, now don't be lonely, just wait till the clouds roll by. Ah, wait till the clouds roll by, Jenny, wait till the clouds roll by. Ah, Jenny, my own true loved one, wait till the clouds roll by. Ah, wait till the clouds roll by, Jenny, wait till the clouds roll by. Ah, Jenny, my own true loved one, wait till the clouds roll by.
Absolutely lovely. That comes from Davy Arthur and the Fury Brothers. The unmistakable voice of Finbar Fury singing there. Beautiful, isn't it? It's called I Will Love You Every Time You Are Gone. And we play that because Davy Arthur will be celebrating his birthday on the 24th, which is next Thursday. So happy birthday to him. Now, another man who's celebrating his birthday, I said when I introduced it that he is a funny man, but he's also a singer. He's a comedian, first and foremost. A man by the name of Conal Gallan celebrates his birthday tomorrow, born in Ballybofey in 1955. And he wrote this song after he played a venue, and it was a late night gig. And there were quite a lot of people there. But the usual Irish thing, you know, in the good old days when we used to have live events, there'd be always a few stragglers with a drink or two in front of them, and they're waiting to try and find the room to throw the drink in before they go home. And there's usually a friend there saying, will you come on? Come on, come on, drink up. Come on, come on. Or leave it there. Leave it there. Be grand. And no, you'll be having none of it. But on this particular occasion, he spotted two women. And one was trying to encourage the other to go home. But she had a vodka and something else in front of her and was determined that she would go or after she had finished the drink. Right? Her name was Cynthia, and her friend just turned to her and said, will you horse it into you, Cynthia? And so it gave Conal Gallan some inspiration, and he wrote this song.
Horse it into you, Cynthia, for you're the girl for me. You're the finest looking filly that I did ever see. You're the onions in me burger, you're the sugar in me tea. So horse it into you, Cynthia, for you're the girl for me. I saw her my room in the town of Kilchamock. She was sitting at the counter knocking double vodkas back. She wore a low-cut gansy and a skirt above her knee. Says I, horse it into you, Cynthia, for you're the girl for me. Yes, horse it into you, Cynthia, for you're the girl for me. You're the finest looking filly that I did ever see. You're the onions in me burger, you're the sugar in me tea. Horse it into you, Cynthia, for you're the girl for me. When I asked her, what are you having? Well, you should have heard her shout. I'll have another double vodka and another pint of stout. And a bag of cheese and onion, and then I'll have a pea. Says I, horse it into you, Cynthia, for you're the girl for me. Yes, horse it into you, Cynthia, for you're the girl for me. You're the finest looking filly that I did ever see. You're the onions in me burger, you're the sugar in me tea. So horse it into you, Cynthia, for you're the girl for me. There never was a woman who could better fill the blouse. You should see her biceps bulging when she's milking my own cows. She could shovel dung for Ireland, I'm sure you'd all agree. So horse it into you, Cynthia, for you're the girl for me. Yeah, horse it into you, Cynthia, for you're the girl for me. You're the finest looking filly that I did ever see. You're the onions in me burger, you're the sugar in me tea. So horse it into you, Cynthia, for you're the girl for me. Now we're 40 years together and we're living on me farm. And I never have to worry about how she'll keep me warm. She still wears the low-cut gansy and her skirt above her knee. So horse it into you, Cynthia, for you're the girl for me. Yeah, horse it into you, Cynthia, for you're the girl for me. You're the finest looking filly that I did ever see. You're the onions in me burger, you're the sugar in me tea. So horse it into you, Cynthia, for you're the girl for me. So horse it into you, Cynthia, for you're a fine-looking woman, yeah.
Oh, Cynthia. Horse it into you, Cynthia. Did you ever hear more romantic lines than you're the onions in me burger, the sugar in me tea? Fabulous, isn't it? Conal Gallan celebrates his birthday tomorrow. We wish him a very happy birthday, and hopefully it won't be long before he'll be back on the stage again. That's a song called Horse It Into You, Cynthia. Right, let's do a very quick break. Come back to me just after that, and I'll be talking to Terry McKinley, the president of the Irish Association in Spain, about the Irish and how we are faring out in Spain at the moment.
Live on Era, presented by Jer Sweeney.
Welcome back to the programme, and we have been keeping an eye on exactly what's been happening in Ireland, without going into too much detail on a weekly basis here on the programme. But it's also something that we need to bear in mind is that there is a very healthy Irish population in Spain. And the Irish Association of Spain is headed by Terry McKinley, who joins us on the phone right now. Terry, good to talk to you as always. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing as good as anybody else in this situation.
Well, then we're not doing too badly if that is the case. And you are the president of the Irish Association. We've spoken to you on a couple of occasions on the programme before, and I thought it would be nice just to check in and get your thoughts, maybe get some first-hand information about the Irish here in Spain. Now, I know that when all of this kicked off back in late February, early March, one of the first casualties was an Irish casualty in the big St. Patrick's Day celebrations that go on. And I know that you were involved with Benal Madna and Arroyo de la Miel and Torremolinos as well. So that must have been a huge blow, was it?
It was absolutely huge. Normally, the turnout for St. Patrick's Day is absolutely huge on the coast of Delta. It's probably one of the biggest expat events on the coast. And the decision to cancel it, It was pivoting right on the decision that the country may go into lockdown. But we had to make the decision a week before that, which was a very, very difficult decision because we have a lot organised in St. Patrick's Day. And everything, we have performers coming in from Ireland, things like that. We had already organised all that and had to cancel it last minute. Very, very difficult situation.
I remember, and there were events that were cancelled in La Cala, and there were in Marbella and various other places as well. So that would have been the first casualties. Now, throughout the year, Terry, the Irish Association would have or be involved with a number of fundraisers to help people out. And I suppose there's been nothing that you could do in the last 6 months along those lines.
No, it's a very frustrating time because people had, when we sort of thought that we were coming out of lockdown, people were starting talking about organising events, which we promote on their behalf to help them to get them good numbers. And they just haven't been able to do it. Yeah, there would normally be a few golf tournaments organised throughout the year. They have been cancelled. It's a bad situation. I just feel very frustrated that we can't look forward to anything, you know what I mean?
Because planning, we don't know what's going to happen from week to week. And so therefore you can't plan for anything because you could have it planned another day before something could change. Now, Terry, I know that there is a good, a constant, permanent Irish population here along the Costa del Sol, particularly, and indeed other costas as well, and right across Spain. But there would be people that might travel from Ireland and spend maybe 3, 4, 5 months here. Obviously, they haven't been travelling at all this year.
No, they've decided not. There has been a couple, but probably less than 5% of the normal travellers.
Right.
One of my sort of jobs on the coast here, my separate job, nothing to do with the Irish Association, is in property.
Right.
So I would manage a lot of the properties for people who have bought off me in the past, and they would be 95% Irish. And I could say I'd probably need to think about it, but I don't know any of them who have come out since lockdown.
Okay. And have they been keeping in touch with you just to see how the other Irish are doing here, or how you're doing, keeping an eye on what's been happening in Spain?
Yeah, they have been in touch. We're in touch on a regular basis by email.
Good.
And it's just, they don't know what they're doing either, you know, with the there are so many changes in areas that are going into lockdown or in lockdown, partial lockdown. People just can't plan. There would be a very good chance if you plan to come to Spain with no quarantine on your return. That way you're here, they introduce a quarantine.
That's
causing no end of trouble. So people just aren't traveling. And now, I would normally, between March and now, I would normally have been in the UK and Ireland at least twice to see family.
Okay.
This sounds horrible. I don't want to.
Right.
I don't want the hassle of travelling. I want to see my family.
Right.
But I don't want the hassle of travelling and the uncertainty of will I get back? Will there be a problem with flights? It's just, It's a crazy situation.
It is, yeah. It's a frustration. I suppose the one word that could sum up anybody's thought or everybody's thought in relation to COVID is frustration, because you can't plan because things are changing at the drop of a hat, as we said. Let's talk a little bit, Terry, about business people, Irish people in Spain who are in business, and a lot of them would be involved in the hospitality business. Others would be involved in insurance and property. How are the Irish faring out in Spain business-wise?
Well, as you say, most of my contacts are in the hospitality trade, which is probably the hardest hit industry so far. I do have other clients, as you say, in insurance and things like that, and they are carrying on because regardless of COVID, you need your insurance, so people are renewing and things like that. So that type of trade is carrying on. There's obviously a slight downturn, but it's mainly the hospitality trade that have been hit badly.
Are the Irish people in business, are they concerned? Are they worried?
Yes, they are worried. Now, they're keeping a smile on their face, as most people are. Like, I am in constant contact with them just to make sure that everything's okay and see if there's anything that we can assist them with. And it's quite strange. Some big businesses on the coast here in the hospitality industry that you never thought would have a problem are having a problem.
Of course.
And it's a case of the bigger you are, the harder you fall, you know. And that's, they reckon that their custom so far since March would be down 70%. They reckon they've had about 30%. There are other people who haven't been allowed to open. They were allowed to open. And then they were closed down again, or told to close.
Okay.
Mainly because of distance restrictions, seating arrangements, things like that. So, but it's so hit and miss. And there's a lot of information out there, but it's hard to obtain the proper information because each local authority here has slightly different rules.
Yeah. And that's not making it easy. Do you know of any Irish people who have been in business here who were obviously closed down during the lockdown and just said, here, forget it, let's pack the suitcase and go home?
Yes, and it's happening day and daily. I'm actually based in Benalmádena, and I'm not saying just Irish, but there are three quite well-known restaurants in the Benalmádena area have closed. Oh. Now, they've closed because of COVID. But they're not reopening when they're allowed. They're basically, they've given up.
Okay.
They can't do it. They don't have the finances to refinance the business. A lot of people who come out here in the hospitality industry did it on retirement. Their dream was to retire to Spain and have a nice little restaurant or a nice little bar. Mm. And that would be their life. This has sort of tripped it up.
I know that you are very active and the association is very active on Facebook particularly, but also on your website, and you tend to give as much information as you can in relation to what's happening in Ireland. Is there a desire by the Irish people in Spain to look at that and delve into it in detail, or are they just too busy trying to survive here in Spain?
I would say, Joe, everybody has one eye on home. You know, Ireland will always be home, and everybody keeps one eye on home. But it's so uncertain here at the moment that I think they're 100% concentrating on their own situation within Spain. There's so much uncertainty; it's unbelievable. As I say, everybody sort of keeps a smile on their face, but when you look behind the smile, you can see where they are worried.
Have you had contact from people who would be in dire straits and would be desperate for assistance?
Yes, yeah, okay. A couple of people. We had a couple of performers who came out for St. Patrick's Day, for example, and we have had to get two of them back home to Ireland. They stayed after lockdown, thinking that it would be for a month and would be it, and everything would free up and it could work. But there was an entertainer in Nurka and one in Marbella, and we had to get them both home.
Okay, and they're home safe and sound, and all is good with them.
They're home safe and sound, yeah, and strangely enough, looking forward to coming out next year.
Lovely.
if there is a next year.
And I was just going to say, talking about that, I know that at this time of the year, you would already be sitting down with your pencil and your paper, and you'd be making contacts with people for the big event of the year, which is March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. I suppose you can't even go near that now. There's no such thing as St. Patrick's Day 2021 yet.
No, it's it actually costs so much to operate. Like we're still paying off debt from the council last year, from when it was cancelled in March, because obviously we prepay for printing and That's advertising right. and things like that, and we just weren't able. Well, obviously it was cancelled, and we weren't able to recover the money. We do have sponsors from various businesses throughout the coast. Obviously, we couldn't go to them and still say, you know, can you still give us the money? Anyway? It didn't happen. It's just it wouldn't have been down that well. I wouldn't have done it anyway, but it wouldn't have been down that well. Mm. But yeah, it's just for next year. We have a fairly standard format, but I'm not, if this makes sense, I'm not planning for next year yet. Normally, I would be 30% into the planning. I would know who's performing, how we're getting them here, how we're the logistics of moving them around the coast to the various sort of venues. I'm not doing that at the minute. I don't know. No one has said to me St. Patrick's Day won't happen next year. But if you ask me personally, it's 50-50.
Okay. Really? All right. Well, look, 50-50, I suppose, in the current climate is something that I suppose isn't too bad at all. Well, look, Terry, in general, I suppose, what would your feelings be? Are you optimistic that we'll get through this and, you know, things will work out eventually? Or do you think, another little bit of pain to go through before all that happens?
It's a very difficult one. I'm as confused as everybody else in this jar.
I was hoping for some answers here.
Yeah, well, you'll get. No, it's I have to be optimistic. I have to say that this will come to an end. I just don't know when. We always seem in your old head. You have an idea. You sort of go right. Well, another month should clear this up and all.
Or whatever,
and yeah, no one seems to know really what to do. You know. The time where I live would be split, whether you have to go for a full lockdown, partial lockdown, or whether you do nothing at all and we're going to survive it. I just don't know that. I just don't understand it,
Jack. None of us do. All right, Terry McKinley, President of the Irish Association in Spain. It's irishassociationspain.com is your website. And it's the Irish Association Spain on Facebook as well, isn't it?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page and a Facebook group page as well.
Okay,
and we post information from we post mainly the news headlines from Ireland and from Spain.
And one doesn't need to be Irish to be part of that. If you're interested in what's happening in Ireland, you can still do that, can't you? You can still be part of that.
Yes, absolutely. We have quite a few members whose parents could have been Irish, but they might have been born elsewhere. And it's a vast network now. You know, we have Irish associations in Chile, Abu Dhabi, Australia, South Africa. It's incredible, you know, absolutely incredible.
And just talking about different nationalities being part of the Irish Association, I know that you work very closely. The Irish Association works very closely with the Welsh Association and with associations from Germany and France and others as well. So has there been some kind of contact on an ongoing basis, or are you just relying on each other's social media to keep yourselves up to date?
The people who are in charge of the other associations would be in touch with me anyway on a personal basis, nothing to do with their association. So we catch up that way.
Good.
But there are very little activities happening in any of the associations at the moment. As I say, they would normally be through entertainment events and things like that. And we just can't do it.
All right.
Simple as that.
Well, look, thanks very much indeed for sharing the information, and hopefully all will be well. As I always say to you, whatever we can do on the programme to help, you know where to get me, and we'll be more than happy to do so. If you need a little bit of assistance or promotion at any stage, just give us a shout, all right?
Well, that's great, Ger. I know that offer exists, and it's a very, very useful thing. Thank you very much.
Terry McKinley, President of the Irish Association in Spain. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, cheers. Bye.
That is burning in the African sun. Black blood flows from the white man's gun. Locked in a jail for 25 years. Held like a lion in the cage of tears.
fabulous song, isn't it? It comes from Dolores Kane. Dolores is on our birthday file this week. Next Saturday, she celebrates her birthday. She was born in 1953, so we wish her a very happy birthday. A song called Lion in a Cage, a song, of course, about Nelson Mandela. And we played that after I spoke to Terry. So, Terry, thank you very much again for taking time to talk to us today. Let's do a quick break. Come back to me just after that. There's lots more to come on the programme. I yet have to do the Irish number one on this day back in 1990. And I am also going to be playing for you another story from Patricia just after these.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Don't forget, if you'd like to get in contact with the programme, you can do so by email. It's the handiest way to do it. Ger, G-E-R, at TRE.radio, as easy as that. Now, I did promise you that I would play the number one song in Ireland on this day back in 1990. That's exactly what we're going to do. When this group originally played the circuit, nobody kind of knew them. And they were doing the rounds of radio stations back in late 89. And I know a number of people that would have interviewed them and spent time with them and really didn't rate them at all. One person, I won't mention his name, springs to mind, a colleague of mine, a former colleague of mine. He had spent hours setting up the studio for them to arrive to do a late night interview on the radio station. And they arrived late. They got delayed somewhere along the line. And after all of the effort that went into setting up the studio with various different mics, a mic for drums, a mic for guitars, a mic for this, a mic for that, they walked in and said, no, we just want the one mic. And they said, what, one mic? The engineer said, one mic? Yeah, it's all we need. So they had to just use the one mic in the big studio. And the lads belted out this song. And the engineer remarked to the presenter of the programme after they had gone that, didn't rate their chances very highly. But they proved them wrong and went on to have this number one on this very day back in 1990, the Saw Doctors.
I have fallen for another, she can make her own way home. And even if she asks me now, well, I'd let her go alone. But I used to see her up the chapel when she went to Sunday Mass. And when she go up to receive, I'd kneel down there and watch her pass. The glory of her ass. I used to love her, I used to love her once. Long, long time ago, I used to love her, I used to love her once. Long, long time ago, it's gone. All my love and it's gone. Whoa, 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 it's gone. All my love and it's gone. Do you remember her collecting for concern on Christmas Eve? She was on a party. And I walked straight up and made an ostentatious contribution. And I winked at her to tell her I'd seduce her in the future when she's feeling looser. I used to love her, I used to love her once. Long, long time ago, I used to love her, I used to love her. She's no longer my obsession. A lot of thoughts and dreams I had of her would take 6 months in confession. See, I met this young one Thursday night and she's into free expression. And her mission is to rid the world of this sinful repression. Then we had a session. I used to love her, I used to love her.
Ah, She Can Make Her Own Way Home. The Saw Doctors, they were at number one in Ireland on this very day back in 1990. They're still gigging and still sounding good. And when a Saw Doctor song is played, you're guaranteed to get the crowd going. Absolutely nice, isn't it? Yeah. Right, so we had one person from Belfast already today, that being Terry McKinley. We have a second person from Belfast now. Patricia Traynor is a regular contributor to the programme, and she always gathers some nice stories. And in the most recent outing of recording with Patricia, she said, I'm going to kind of do some stories from my own particular experiences. And I said, that would be absolutely brilliant. And here she is with another one, Patricia.
Well, hello again, Ger. Well, today I'm going to tell you about my experiences whenever I first came to Spain. And I'm sure like everyone who's listening has had similar experiences when they first came to Spain, especially if they were like me and didn't know a word of Spanish. Now, this story I'm going to call Answering the Telephone. As I said, the first time I came to Spain, I didn't know a word of Spanish, and I had come to meet my future in-laws. Always a tense time, but in this case, they didn't speak a word of English, and I didn't speak a word of Spanish. Well, meeting the in-laws involved not only the parents of my boyfriend, but also his extended family, aunts, uncles, nephews, nieces, and others. I wanted to make a good impression, but of course, I couldn't say anything. So all I could really do to communicate was smile. I spent all day smiling at people and smiling again and appearing to be interested in conversations that I couldn't understand. Oh, it was really exhausting. And at night, the muscles of my face ached with so much smiling. Now, being someone who likes to talk, I felt rather frustrated at not being able to join in conversations. However, after a few weeks, I understood a minimum. For example, when someone said, "Abre la ventana," and pointed to the window, which was closed, well, it didn't take rocket science to realise that it must mean open the window. Or when someone pointed to an open door and said, "Cierra la puerta," well, easy, it must mean close the door. Well, now, the same happened when it was getting close to lunchtime and I heard my future mother-in-law say, "Pon la mesa." Of course, that meant set the table. But I'm afraid that was it. I was still far off being able to answer the telephone. Now, we all know how much more difficult it is to speak on the telephone when you have to speak in a foreign language. For a start, you have no paralinguistic features to help you. I mean, in a face-to-face conversation, we can see eye movements, raised eyebrows, smiles, nods of the head, and other clues which help us understand what is being said. Well, one day, when I was alone in the dining room, the telephone rang. Now, my boyfriend Juan was in the bathroom, but his mother thought that he was with me in the dining room. She was in the kitchen, so she shouted, "Coge el teléfono!" Which by then, in fact, I knew meant answer the telephone. Okay, I realised that it meant answer the telephone, but I thought to myself, oh, no way, I can't answer the telephone. But the telephone kept on ringing and she became more insistent. Coge el teléfono! So, okay, she's my future mother-in-law and I would have to do something. So I picked up the phone and then thought to myself, oh, well, what can I say? Well, I can't say anything, really. So I said, ding-a-ling. There was a long pause on the other line, and then a man started talking. Juan's mother came running in and took the phone from me. It was Juan's brother on the line, and she began chatting away to him. Juan then appeared and asked me, what did you say when you answered the phone? I said what everyone says here when they answer the phone. I said, ding-a-ling. No, he said, they say, dígame. Well, how was I to know? I thought that they just maybe imitated the ringing of a telephone. I learned something that day which I will never forget. And the fact is, his brother said later he thought it was strange, but then he thought he must have heard wrongly and I must have said, dígame.
Thank you. When I was young and I was in my day, sure I'd steal what woman's heart there was away, and I'd sing into the dawning, song ablaze into the morning, long before I was the man you see today. I was born beneath a star that promised all. I could have lived my life between Kharkov and Yale, but the wheel of fortune took me from the highest point. She shook me by the bottle, live by the bottle, I shall fall. But there in the mirror on the wall, I see the dream is fading from the contender to the bride. The ring, the rose, the matador. And when I die, I'll die a drunk down on the street. He will count me out to 10 and clear the field. Wrap the star, he plow around me, let the pipers air resound me. There I'll rest until the Lord of love and me. In the mirror on the wall, I see the dream is fading from the contender to the bride. The ring, the rose, the matador, raving. And when I die, drunk down on the street, he will count me up to 10 and clear the field. Wrap the starry plow around me, let the pipers resound me. There I'll rest until the Lord of love I meet. Wrap the starry plow around me, let the pipers resound me. There I'll rest until the Lord of love I'll meet.
Isn't that a beautiful song? That comes from Finbar Wright, a man who was on our birthday file for today. We wish Finbar a very happy birthday. He will be celebrating next Saturday, the 26th. He was born in Cork in 1957. What a great voice he has as well. Came late to the singing, as far as I know. That song, The Contender, I presume you know, but just in case you don't, I'll tell you it's about a man called Joseph, or Jack Doyle, who was known as the Gorgeous Gael. He was an Irish boxer, he was an actor, and he had a lovely tenor voice as well. He was born in County Cork. And what happened basically was he came from a working class family. He was about 6 foot five and he was good with the fists. He joined the Irish Guards Regiment of the British Army in the late 1920s and he excelled at boxing and was famed for his strong hooks that won him the British Army Championship. A record of 28 straight victories, 27 by knockout, brought him to the attention of a promoter by the name of Dan Sullivan. And he turned professional, notched up 10 consecutive victories, all inside 2 rounds, making him the hottest thing in the sport. And back in July of 1933, at the age of only 19, he missed out on the British heavyweight title to the holder, a Welshman by the name of Jack Peterson. Now, witnesses claimed that Jack Doyle had done most of his warming up in the pub, not too far from the bout. And within the opening seconds, he knew that he was in trouble and decided to take the easy way out. He was disqualified for repeatedly punching low. But he had a very interesting life, sad life as well, as it turned out. But you can find out more if you just just Google Jack Doyle and or the Gorgeous Gale, as he was known. And that's what that song is about, The Contender. So there you have it. All righty. Thanks to Patricia as well for that wonderful story. Answering the phone, huh? Yeah, it's kind of tough, all right, when you don't have the old lingo to be chatting on the phone. Folks, that's it. That's my lot for today. I sincerely hope that you have enjoyed the programme as much as I enjoyed putting it together and presenting it to you. I hope that you'll join me again next week, next Monday between 6 and 7. As I said to you a little earlier on, if you want to get in contact with me at any stage, it's Ger, G-E-R, at TRE.radio. Can I say a big thank you to my guests today, to Terry McKinley, the president of the Irish Association in Spain, and to Patricia Traynor, for her lovely story about answering the telephone. Thank you for listening. I do hope you've enjoyed it. As always, can I say a big thank you to our Spanish-Irish cultural advisor, Jose Antonio Sierra. I'm going to leave you with this song, a man that I interviewed on the programme and got great reaction to the interview a number of months ago. A fellow by the name of Barry McCabe. Here's a song that's called My Hometown, Virginia. Nice song. Until next week, from me, Ger Sweeney, look after yourselves and each other. Bye-bye now.
Wind, it blew up from Riverside. And being young, I didn't know to hide. Pull my coat up around my shoulder and pull my cap down low. Content to call this place my home. The old mill has long closed its doors, nestled neatly along the river shore. From a time that's long gone, all the workers have moved on, yet the water, it still flows there every day. I still call it home, even though I had to roam. That's my hometown, Virginia. Some things change and some stay the same. The alley's closed, but Sunday brings a game. On the 14's tug out, and the parents come to shout. Then it's home for dinner and off to school next day. The VVS lies on Loch Ramor's shore. I went to school there, and who could ask for more? Give us lots of things to do. Oh, a lot of freedom too. Like I say, who could ask for more? I still call it home, even though I had to roam. That's my hometown, Virginia. I remember knocking doors when Halloween. From the church grounds with fishing line unseen. Well, they tried so hard to catch us, and we tried hard not to laugh. If my mother'd known, why she'd have blown the fuse. Farmer's ballroom sadly is no more. No more dancers jiving on that floor. I remember playing there and then playing everywhere. Oh, those early days seem long and packed with fun. I still call it home,
even though I had to roam. That's my hometown, Virginia. That's my hometown, Virginia.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.